Well, this worship service is coming from the chapel of Wood Village Baptist Church in Wood Village, Oregon. And normally we would have two services here on Sunday morning, and we'd be filled with happy, smiling faces. And during the service, we'd sing and we'd pray and we'd get up and greet each other. And this is very different. We're doing a lot of things differently these days. And who would have thought a couple of weeks ago that we would be doing this at all? So our goal today is to have a worship team share some music. And we have Zeke Goodrick and Tim Watt and Kelly Gable leading music. Pastor Tom and Pastor Raymond and myself will be sharing some thoughts that we have as we're working through this whole virus issue. And our goal is that we might be able to encourage you, that we might give you an opportunity to think through with us on how we're dealing with all of these challenges that are coming and how to stay focused on the Lord. And maybe you'll even have opportunity to have somebody else watch it with you. And we're just looking forward to the day when we'll be back here live in the services again. Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And dear God, we do have a lot of fears. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's way more questions and there's very few answers. And it's an experience. Well, it reminds me of Joshua when he said, "We've not gone this way before." And so, dear God, as we walk through these days, we need your wisdom, we need your peace. And we thank you for an opportunity to share some music and some scripture and some thoughts. And we just want you to be honored. And most of all, we're concerned that people know Jesus. Because regardless of what the future of this whole thing is, it's temporary. And the eternal is knowing Jesus as Savior. And help us to make sure that each of us, whoever has opportunity to participate in this time together, will trust you and believe you and honor Jesus as Savior. We commit it all to you. We thank you for the privilege of music and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Not see, oh. beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name, in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.
Lost are saved, find their way. Have the sound of your great name. All condemned, feel no shame.
The Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name.
All the
find their strength at the sound of your great name. Hungry souls receive grace at the sound of your great name. The fatherless find their rest at the sound your great name. The sick are healed, the dead are raised at the sound of your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you are my King. Redeemer, my healer, Lord Almighty, Defender, my Savior, you are my King. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man, you are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name. Jesus, worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us, the Son of God and man. You are high and lifted up, and all the world will praise your great name, your great name. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour. The dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. And I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. And should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. And God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Well, hello, Wood Village Baptist Church. We're here in a kind of a living room session here. Maybe you're watching this on a Sunday morning. And as Pastor Bill told you a little bit earlier, we're here to talk about what the effect of the current circumstance and challenges right now that we have with us individually. And we thought telling you how we're responding to it and how it's touching us, that might be helpful for you and helpful for you to navigate this current time. And hopefully that we'll be able to encourage you and give you hope, because that's what we're here for, right, as God's children. So I know, Pastor Bill, that you had a bit of a story that you were thinking about and during this time, and thought maybe you could kind of start out with that.
Sure, Tom. It's fun to be here with you guys. I didn't think we'd ever be doing anything quite like this. I wrote part of this in my weekly ponder, and it's kind of a confession, because this whole virus thing, the way it has hit so quickly in our country, has reminded me of how much I assumed, and really I think I was careless in thinking that something like this could happen here in the United States. And my mind has gone back to 1918. I wasn't alive yet then, but my grandmother was, my dad's mother. And she almost died at the time of the Spanish influenza. And my dad would have been 9 years young at that time. And so he talked about this a lot as I was growing up all through the years. And I've done some counting today, and I realize she birthed 13 children. 11 of them lived to adults. And I think all of them were probably alive at that time. The youngest ones might have been just babies. So you can imagine, out in the middle sticks of Colorado, a situation like that, what that did to that family. And as I thought back on it, I've always thought, well, isn't that wonderful? My grandma got well, and they had a great family, and I have a great family, and we don't have to deal with things like that anymore. And then I thought about, in my growing up years, we conquered measles. We've got past the smallpox during my lifetime. I remember when we got the announcement that polio was a thing of the past, and that was a feared disease as I was growing up, and it was all over by the time I was out of high school. And so I think I developed kind of this attitude that this happens in other countries. And I read about it, and I pray for some people, and I think, you know, that just doesn't happen in America. We're past that. We fix things. We're techo people. And the fact that this has hit our country this hard and this fast, and we have no answers, we have lots of questions, it has really brought me to a place of humility to say, dear God, I think I've taken some things for granted that I shouldn't have, and I'm sorry. And I will deal with issues differently. I will pray more carefully for people in other countries. And I'm reminded of Psalm 139, we're so fearfully and wonderfully made, and yet our body is under the curse of sin because of what Adam and Eve did. And it's vulnerable, and mine is vulnerable, and yours is vulnerable. And we're being reminded of that. And we're being brought to a place where we really have no choice but to admit that we have tremendous needs and limitations, and we don't have answers. And what an opportunity to believe God, to grow, to look for opportunities to help people realize where disease comes from and the remedy to sin. This is a real growing experience for this old man. And I just appreciate the privilege of being able to talk about it. And I'm hoping maybe it might help somebody else think it through. Because we need to realize who we are and how vulnerable we are and how much God is really in charge. And we need to trust him. I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Yeah, it's very helpful, because I think about the somewhat of emotional roller coaster that I've gone through myself over the last couple of weeks. And how I responded to that is very interesting. And I don't know, Raymond, did you have?
I share a similar story with Pastor Bill, that as this was coming about, I basically disregarded it. I was like, this doesn't happen in America. And yeah, we're going to get reports of cases and we're going to hear some things in the news, but life is going to go on as it always does in its normal fashion. And that just all changed very, very quickly. And the roller coaster of emotions that you've mentioned, I mean, I think we're all experiencing some similar things. It has really kind of rocked me. And so picking up from where we're at and planning on how do we move forward and making those choices that it's going to best minister to the people that are in our body has become the focus.
It's kind of like after 9/11, we had some new normals develop that have never gone away. And we're going to have some new normals come out of this that are changing our life, and we'll have to get used to them. And we have to figure out how to make them positive, not negative. But life won't be quite the same again when we get past this thing, hopefully not too far from now, but it could be quite a while.
Yeah. I realize that how much I enjoy just controlling my own life. My first response to this was, everybody's exaggerating, you know. We're healthy, we're going to be fine. But then to realize the as more facts and data came through that this is very important. It is a crisis. And then realizing that I have a role to play, and that role is to actually to listen to people in authority and to do what they're asking me to do. And I did not realize how prideful I was that I needed to do that. And not for just myself, but for others who could be affected by this. And yeah, I had to repent of my own individualism and pride. So, yeah.
And I have as well. When the first time somebody mentioned, do you think we're going to have to cancel a service? And we were talking one, and it quickly evolved into many. But that very first conversation, I was like, are we really having this conversation? It just didn't seem real to me. And with the numbers that they were first throwing out as, you know, 250 people, and we're like, well, we can still meet. And again, I think that was the arrogant attitude on my part, that I wasn't thinking about the big picture. I was thinking about myself, really, mm-hmm. and how this would affect me and our small local community.
I think there's a sense, and I had this, that this a safety net, health, economic, is always underneath us. And I have gotten a sense that that's been pulled right out from underneath us. And so you have to ask, where do you go from there? And I'm sure many people in the church, they're in much more vulnerable positions than I am. And they have to feel that too. People being quarantined to their rooms, not being able to leave their rooms in care centers, and that changes everything for them. You know, how can we encourage them?
And Carol and I have been talking a lot about that, because we're all so into being with people, and now we have people that can't leave their room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fortunate when they're at least husband and wife, because some of them are completely alone, and that's a heartbreaker. And we're thinking through ways to maybe send a card. You can still do mail. We can't communicate with you right now. Some of them you can't even call on the phone. But we're thinking about you. I'm thinking of working with the office that probably we should send a letter out every week, starting next week, to the entire church family. Email and snail mail for those who don't have it. And just kind of clue them in on what's going on, and people that are doing well, and people that are hurting, and have you thought about this scripture? And there must be a number of ways that even while we're so limited, we can help feel like we're connected. We're sitting in this chapel and feeling very disconnected from the church family, except for six of us, but there's a connection there, and it feels good. This inspires me. I'm encouraged. And if we can communicate some of that through these kinds of things, I think we need to do one of these every week and put it on the web. It's going to be a lot of work for a lot of people, those are just a few ideas we've had. We need to try to help people know that they're not forgotten out there. I think that's a big concern.
Yes. I think it's been strange to that the whole idea of how we do ministry has changed, at least. It seems to have for me. I come into the office and we have a skeleton crew there. I don't see people face to face, and that's how I have done ministry, and I get comfort from that, and I derive meaning from that. But we have to think differently. We have to look at ways that God has presented us an opportunity to do ministry in a different way.
Yeah.
And we as Christians, that's how do we respond to that?
Yeah,
and that's really kind of what we're processing through day to day, hour to hour sometimes. I know, again, ministry is so personal, and when somebody walks through the door, it's just different right now. The looks that you give each other are, how far do I stay away, or how close can I approach? And so to find ways to do ministry within the parameters that we find ourselves doing life in right now is challenging. But mm-hmm. as Pastor Bill mentioned, the opportunities, looking for opportunities. Practice what you preach has been something that I've grown up hearing. A lot of people have, and it's a time right now for me to remember the lessons that I've been teaching for so many years and saying, how can I put that into practice in my own life?
Mm. Yeah. It's so interesting. Growing up in a German culture, men didn't hug each other. It just didn't happen. And then I got into ministry, and there's been kind of a trend in the last decades, and everybody hugs, and there's been some key people that have really promoted that. And I've turned into a major hugger. I like to be hugged, and I like to hug. And now we can't do that. You know, we give somebody the elbow, and we're wondering if we should even do that. Tender gestures of connection,
yeah,
that have become so part of our life, and the new normal probably isn't going to allow for that.
Yeah.
And then I've thought of the seniors in high school and college. They're anticipating graduation, and a lot of them, that's all probably going to be changed. Schools are shut down. There's a lot of people that are wrestling with things that are very personal and that hurt, and yet in the big picture of life and death, they're all doable, and we'll have to do a lot of perspective, helping people keep that perspective that the big things are still in place. Is God still in charge? Do we know Jesus? Can we anticipate a life after this for hopefully most of us? And I think there's a lot of that we can do helping people keep perspective. I need a lot of that.
I think it's helpful to, now that you mention it, to reflect on those people who are the most affected by this. We think of so many that are now out of work. Restaurant business, waiters and waitresses, small business owners, anybody that does anything with the public or the schools, and let alone moms and dads at home who are at home with kids now, or have to be at home with kids because they can't work. And so there's a lot that are going to be affected, and as time goes on, it's going to be harder and harder for them. So we have an opportunity there to help and to reach out to those people and do that personal connection, although it may have to be at a distance.
Yeah. And we'll learn how to do more and more of that.
Yeah, I think we, God has presented us with an opportunity here. In 1 Thessalonians 5, we're supposed to comfort each other and edify each other. So thinking about new ways to do that, or I think of the term thinking out of the box, the way that we serve and love people has to change, and we have to be creative about that right now.
Yeah.
For instance, our elders are communicating with those who are vulnerable in the church right now and asking them, do you need groceries. You know, if you can't leave your home or it's risky, let us buy you groceries. We have a team that's purchasing groceries, and we have a stock of toilet paper here, and things like that. So, and those are true needs that we can really, really help out with, and that could only expand and grow as the need in the community grows.
Yeah, the perspective is the thing that I've been working on so that I have a balanced perspective the best I can to help people maintain that type of thinking about, because one of the main questions we get is, well, what if this continues for this long, or what if this continues, or what if this happens? And we don't really know the answers to what if questions, but if we keep the perspective that God does have those answers, that he knows exactly what's going on, and some of the comfort that I derive is that he knows exactly how he's going to deal with the situation, not just as a whole within the country, but for each individual person. Yeah. He knows what the outcome's going to be, and he has our best interests in mind.
And to make sure, without cramming it down people's throats, that when given the opportunity, we can share with them the big picture. And, you know, somebody says, well, what if this does get me? What if I die? Well, let's talk about that, because we can get you ready for that. And there's something better ahead. So there can be a lot of opportunity. Yeah. I'm hanging on to Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help all the time, but certainly when we're in trouble. And then it says, and we won't fear. And then it gives a whole list of things where life is just falling apart. We won't fear. And then in the end, I just need to hear this multiple times per day, where he says, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted. And my picture of that is he's saying, hush, hush, Bill, just hush, and let me be God. And that's helpful to me.
And I like that you bring that up. I have had to remind myself multiple times every day when this emotion of the roller coaster of emotions kicks in, I have to keep reminding myself that God is near, and mm-hmm. that he is here, and that I can go to his word and get the comfort that I need.
I think that's we need to guard our hearts.
Yeah.
You know, we'll if we're fearful, then we can't communicate hope to people who are very much afraid, who don't have hope outside of Christ. So we need to guard our hearts. You know, Jesus said in John 14 that he said, I bring you peace, and my peace I give you, not as the world gives it. He said, and this is when the disciples were seeing the world fall apart around them, and Jesus was going to his death. And he said, you know, don't let your hearts be troubled. He says, I am with you. And so guarding our hearts and our emotions at this time through God's word, and then prayer. I mean, right now, prayer is probably the best thing that we can do.
Maybe that's what we should do right now.
Yeah. I think so. Are you guys ready to pray?
Sure.
Okay. So, Father, we thank you for opportunities to shine the light of Christ through the hope that you've placed in our hearts and embedded in us. Lord, just some weeks ago, we were reminded that you made everything, Jesus. Everything was made for you. All of the deity of God dwells within you. Our purposes are found in you. Through you, all things hold together. We have nothing to fear. We have everything to hope for. And Father, you're going to care for us here. We know that you care for us and you love us. But we want to ask you, Father, would you enable us to serve during this time in ways that are creative, in ways that give hope to our neighbors? Would we maybe reach out to those who might be lonely or feeling alone in our church or in our families? Put on our hearts those who we need to reach out to and show that we love and remember. And we all have phones, and we can call, and we can touch hearts. Lord, we want to do your work, and we want to glorify you. And when this is all said and done, Father, we want the light of Jesus Christ to shine in this world and through us. And I pray any who are out there who see this or hear this message, if they need anything, that they would reach out and call and to ask, to seek, and to knock. We are your body, and we thank you for the privilege of serving in Jesus' name.
Father God, you are the loving, gracious, compassionate God that created the universe, that created us, that loves us and wants to have a relationship with us. And we thank you for that, Lord. And in this time where social distancing is the hot word, we know that you are near. And we pray, Lord, that we can draw near to you and find that peace and that comfort that comes through a relationship with you. And Lord, we are told that you show comfort to us for the purpose that we can comfort others. And I pray, Lord, that we can do that as individuals, show comfort to the people that are around us, to look for opportunities to comfort those that we know are hurting. Lord, and we just pray for our church family, knowing that there's needs as we continue to meet those needs. We thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we get from one another as we continue to pray and to focus on the ministry that you have given us to do. We love our people. We thank you for the opportunities we have to share with them. We ask these things in your name.
And Father, I just want to thank you for the gift of life. Right at this moment, we have that, and it's a privilege. And then I want to pray for some people that might be listening to this little conversation that's really ill, and they're not sure they're going to have a lot more time. Would you just bring them comfort and peace? Would you help them to know for sure that they've believed in their heart and said it with their mouth, Jesus is my God, my Savior? And that they'd be at peace knowing that they're secure with you. And then for those families that are just troubled, they're trying to find things to do and trying to occupy their time and trying to regroup life and worrying about finances and all the rest. Thank you for bringing them peace and calmness. I want to thank you for these people who are willing to put this kind of time in. And I just hope and pray that these few thoughts in music and in conversation will be a blessing to a lot of people, and that you'll be honored. It's not about us, it's about you. And we commit this all unto you and thank you for the fact that you are faithful. You're the faithful one. And we give you thanks for being our God, our Savior, in whose name we've gathered and that we pray. Amen.
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 When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I sing. Know the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, and it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul, and it is well, and with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul.
And when we can say it's well with our soul, only God can do that for us, and we can face anything. It's been a privilege for us to be with you today. We hope we've been an encouragement to you. Our address is 23601 Northeast Arata, A-R-A-T-A, Road, Wood Village, Oregon, 97060. We'd love to hear from you if we can encourage you in any way. And I'd like to leave you with this thought today. Psalm 23, keep in mind, the Lord is still our shepherd, and that means we have everything that we need. God bless you. Have a great day.